All right, back on AI Turks, Cenk and Anna with you. Members of the day are Hal Duncan and Haley Stoneham. Hal was one of the producers of Mad as Hell, which we showed you a clip from earlier in the show if you're watching live. So God bless. Thank you, guys. Anna and I went to Portugal for the Web Summit last week. That's where she got the hoarse voice. I will tell you some awesome stories from Portugal in the post game today. So members not only support the show, they get the full 2 hours and other network shows without ads, plus the post game.
Just a little bit of a tease for the post game. I am going to make a strong argument that because of your wife and because of me, you had way more fun than you would have on that.
There will be a strong argument.
Very strong, and I have evidence. So.
And when we were in Portugal, there was some strong drinking.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
Yes, we'll tell you all about that in the post game if you're a member. So to become a member, tytnetwork.com/join. All right, Holdcraft says, Pooty Poo always tells the truth. That was, of course, no, it's actually not Pooty Poo, it's Pooty Poot. That was George Bush's nickname for Putin. What is it with the Republican idiots?
With their nicknames?
That immediately fall in love with Putin.
Because they see him as strong. Like, I don't know, they're turned on by that.
Yeah. To be fair, Bob F. makes a good point. He says, say what you will about Putin, but he was really good in Casino Royale and Skyfall. And Becky Armstrong says, when you start watching random YouTube video half hour before the show to waste time and then miss the first hour, sad face. Fado. Okay, we'll explain what Fado is in the post game. You'll love it. You'll make up for missing some of the show. Well, first of all, if you're a member, you can just watch it later. tytnetwork.com/strong. Okay.
Join, not strong.
Oh, that's such a funny Freudian slip. Yes, I'm sure that should lead to something good too. All right, last one, because it's important. Michael Ritchie says, I don't know of any intelligence professionals that dodged the draft in Vietnam with bone spurs. You know, TYT Investigates actually just looked into that issue. And I don't know if you guys know this. I don't think I knew this. You know, there is no letter from the doctor in the records. So the Selective Service records, Trump claims that he got a deferment because he had a letter from his doctor about his bone spurs. He says he doesn't remember which foot they were in or what the doctor's name was. But there is no letter in his records. So it's just what the fucking, you know, powerful get away with.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, let's go to the next fun story.
All right. Trump made a lot of news during his tour to Asia and during the Association of Southeast Asian Nations. It was a summit in the Philippines. There was this fun little ritual or tradition that they do where you know, world leaders do this handshake. And it's not really that complicated. Right hand over left hand, and then you do a handshake with the world leaders next to you. And it's supposed to show unity. However, Trump seemed to struggle a little bit with that, and it made some news. So without further ado, let's take a look at the video.
And now for the ASEAN handshake. Right over left in 1, 2, and 3.
Okay, first of all, that's super awkward. And to be fair to Trump, I think I probably would have screwed it up.
No, I know. Look, I don't really care. I think most people would, because you're like, you know, I don't know. It's just, it's awkward as it is. And maybe they didn't hear the instructions when it was read.
No. That's the only tiny criticism of Trump in that.
Right.
That he doesn't do any of his homework. Like if they told him, like I'm sure they tell the president, hey, by the way, you're gonna do this awkward handshake where you're like doing this, right?
Uh-huh.
And he's like, yeah, it's not in a tweet, I don't care. Right?
Yeah,
I would have, yeah, I would have been like, wait, what are we doing? Which hand, what? Okay. And you know I'm awkward with physical stuff. So
yes.
I would have been like, okay, which one goes over which? Anyway, let's show you the pictures because most people, we're actually more fair to Trump because most people haven't seen the video and they're seeing the pictures and this looks awesome and hilarious.
I know. I think my favorite thing about it is his facial expressions.
Of course.
Because, you know, he realized he got it wrong. And, you know, I think he made the same kind, not the same kind of face, but most people when they're struggling with something publicly will make a face. And Trump is very expressive. And so if you watch the video, he makes like this face before he does like this ridiculous fake smile. It's like,
he's so awkward, dude. But they should cut this handshake out. This unity in Asia, I'm not buying it.
Yeah,
there's better ways to do unity. Look, everybody's struggling with it. Look at that face. Look at that face.
No, it's the best part.
Okay, this story does not mean much. Okay,
no. So
don't make much of it. It's just fun. That's all.
Yes. All right, but you should make much of the next story because it shows you who Trump seems to have deep admiration for. During Donald Trump's tour in Asia, he met with Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte. And interestingly enough, he seemed to be incredibly chummy with Duterte, who has been a controversial figure considering the fact that he has been very supportive and has encouraged extrajudicial killings of individuals who are addicted to drugs. Now, the Philippines have an issue with drug addiction. So does the United States. And the approach here in the United States has been to, you know, stop criminalizing people who are addicted to painkillers and heroin and get them the help that they need to recover. In the Philippines, it's a completely different story. Thousands of people have been killed in extrajudicial killings, some by police officers, others by vigilantes. And it has been disastrous because there's no due process in these cases. Now, Trump, though, has praised Duterte for his organization of the summits, saying that he handled them beautifully. He also said, we had a great relationship. This has been very successful. Trump also said that he had enjoyed being here, meaning with Duterte in the Philippines. Now, there's another part of their meeting that is a little disturbing. Both Duterte and Trump have a deep disdain for the media. And so as reporters were being escorted out of the room, one asked if Trump would raise the issue of human rights, to which Duterte jokingly called the media spies. At that point, both laughed, but neither answered the question.
Yeah. So there's a number of issues here. First, on the so-called drug war that Duterte is running, about 100,000 people have been killed, and it's, you think like, oh, it's gang warfare and stuff. And sure, I'm sure that that's some part of it. But mainly, it's actually the cops doing the killing. And so Amnesty International accuses the police of shooting defenseless people. Not only that, the police paying assassins to murder not drug dealers, but addicts.
Yeah, people who are addicted to drugs. And you know, as again, we're experiencing here in the United States, this is something that should be met with decriminalization and with rehabilitation, because people get addicted to drugs for all sorts of reasons. They're not bad people because they're addicted to drugs. This is terrible.
So now, look, the US doesn't have completely clean hands by a long shot. We're the people who started the war on drugs in the first place, and it's been an absolute debacle. And of course, now we're talking about rehabilitation because it's affecting wider cross-section of Americans. Back when it was mainly black people they were locking up, then they weren't talking about as a health issue. They were talking about, oh, we're gonna throw them away. So we got plenty of skeletons in our closet, no question about that. But Duterte is definitely a different level. Just last year, he said that we should kill the 3 million addicts in the Philippines.
I actually
kill them, murder them, the addicts.
I have his exact quote, which is shocking. He said, he'd be happy to slaughter 3 million addicts, slaughter them. And he's made a number of these comments, and it emboldens the vigilantes, it emboldens the cops. And even if someone thinks, no, drug addicts should be criminalized, well, What about due process? What about a trial? You know, extrajudicial killings imply that there is no trial, there is no day in court, there's nothing. You can be accused, and as soon as you're accused, because you're emboldened by the leader of the country, you can go out and just kill someone for being addicted to drugs or allegedly addicted to drugs. You can just go out there and kill someone you don't like and accuse them of being addicted to drugs.
Of course, that's why the killing is absolutely out of control in the Philippines. And so now, Trump, while on the campaign trail, pretended to care about the opioid problem in America. And he pretended to empathize with the families of those who were addicted. Now he's going and embracing a guy who says we should kill anyone who's addicted to any kind of drug. So if your family's been affected by the disaster in this country that opioids have wreaked, and you thought Trump was going to help you, he just embraced a guy who says your family members should be murdered. And so Duterte just last week in another Asian summit in Vietnam bragged about how he personally killed someone when he was 16 years old.
So let's read you that quote, graphic 22. He said, at the age of 16, I already killed someone, a real person, a rumble, a stabbing. I was just 16 years old. It was just over a look. So he's bragging about murdering people. And it's just so fascinating to me to see who Trump shows admiration for. People who have this dictatorial streak, people like Duterte, people like, you know, Vladimir Putin, who viciously go after their opponents, in some cases murdering their opponents. I mean, why is it that Trump has this deep admiration for them, but when it comes to other world leaders like Angela Merkel, you know, he's just vicious toward them? It's fascinating to me.
I don't know. And then finally on the issue of the press, so Duterte calls them spies, and if you don't know Duterte's history, you might think, okay, whatever, he doesn't like the press. A lot of Republicans don't like the press because they actually cover facts from time to time. But understand that there's a difference even between Trump and Duterte. Trump has said it's frankly disgusting the press is able to write whatever it wants to write, because Trump is a person who's never read the US Constitution. That is an absolute guarantee of the Constitution, but he doesn't care, he's a wannabe dictator. But Duterte has said, just because you're a journalist, you are not exempted from assassination if you're a son of a bitch. Freedom of expression cannot help you if you have done something wrong. So this is a guy who has encouraged the assassination of journalists. So when he says all of you people in the press are spies, it is not a laughing matter. The Philippines now unfortunately ranks as the third worst country for killing of journalists, only behind Syria and Iraq, and those journalists died in war zones. Duterte has created the war zone where he's encouraging the assassination of his critics in the press.
Right.
And not character assassination, actual murder assassination. So it is not remotely a laughing matter. If you say Trump doesn't know that because he's an idiot, okay, I guess that's your big defense. My president that I like doesn't do any homework, is a moron, doesn't know who he's yucking it up with and saying he's a wonderful person. Every part of Trump is, again, with Putin, Duterte, just loves the strongmen who are dictators who murder political opponents and the press, and thinks it's a wonderful thing to compliment them over and over and laugh with them. And by the way, after the laughing was done, Duterte said, I'm not joking, and pointed to the press and say, you are spies. He's not joking, he's called for their murder. And Trump's like, this is great, man, why can't I do this?
Yeah. Oh, it's so devastating. But look, I don't even think that his base makes excuses for him. I don't think that, you know, they even consider him ignorant to what's going on. My read of it is, and this is based on that poll that was done by Politico and Morning Consult earlier this month, there's a deep disdain toward the media among, you know, the right wingers that support Trump. They believe, 76% of Republicans believe, that the media just fabricates stories about Trump. So yeah, they're buying Trump's narrative hook, line, and sinker. And if you just look at history and what dictatorial leaders have done in the past, first thing they want to do is dismantle free media, free press.
Yeah. So look, as I've said a million times, I think our mainstream press has an establishment bias. I don't want them killed, right? I don't want you to think that the press doesn't cover anything that's true. That's ridiculous. So from time to time, is it fair for the left wing and the right wing to point out some bias that they might have? Of course. Is it true that they just wholesale make things up regularly? Like the New York Times doesn't bother doing any research. They just go get in a room and go, what shall we invent?
Yeah.
Right? And just writes fake stories all day long. You'd have to be comically stupid to believe that. To be fair, I keep saying stupid, and maybe that's not fair. Just detached from reality. They really are. Like, if you said the guys that go and write, and more importantly, the editors at the New York Times, might have a perspective and a bias that they are not even conscious of, I think that's a super fair point.
Right.
Even if you think it's a liberal bias, I don't agree, but even if you think that, I think that's a perfectly legitimate point to make, and we disagree on that. If you say, no, they just get in a room and go, what story shall we invent today?
Yeah.
Not look at any facts, not do research, let's just make up news stories. Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, you don't live on this planet. And 76%, 3/4 of Republicans have lost their fucking minds.
I know, it's insane. All right, moving on to other news. Last week, Donald Trump made news when he nominated a federal district judge in Alabama who doesn't have much experience. His name is Brett Talley. He has been working as a lawyer for about 3 years, has never actually tried a specific case. So he's incredibly, incredibly unqualified for this position. He's practiced law for 3 years, was approved by the Senate Judiciary Committee despite never having tried a case. Well,
to be fair, Anna, he was a blogger.
He was a
blogger.
Okay, so he's totally qualified to be a federal judge.
By the way, I've also been a blogger. And I was a lawyer for 9 months in total.
How did you never get nominated for the Supreme Court? That's crazy.
And actually, if you include my internships at the prosecutor's office, it's almost a year that I was a lawyer. And I would actually go inside a courtroom. I'm more qualified to be a federal judge than this guy.
It's insane. Okay. Well, the big update to this story is that he failed to disclose the fact that there's a gigantic conflict of interest here because of who he's married to. It turns out that his wife is a White House lawyer. In fact, she is the chief of staff to the White House counsel. Okay. So let's tell you who she is. Her name is Ann Donaldson. Again, this is something that he was supposed to disclose and he failed to do so. And so I don't know what's going to happen now, but you should also know that he was deemed unqualified by the American Bar Association. And what stands out to me is that whenever we have conversations about people getting special treatment when they don't earn things, it's always in the context of affirmative action, right? But when it comes to stuff like this, whatever, he didn't earn it, but he's a white dude, so who cares?
Yeah, well, it's deeper than that. So let me tell you a couple more things about him. So he worked for Luther Strange, and Luther Strange was briefly the senator from Alabama when Jeff Sessions stepped down, until Roy Moore defeated Strange in the primary. So presumably Luther Strange will be out of the Senate soon. But anyway, those senators are very powerful in helping picking these federal judges. And so that's one thing, but that happens all the time, to be fair, okay? And Democrats do it too. Hey, I like this guy, I'm gonna appoint him, right? And then number two, now getting far more relevant, Brett Talley himself worked at the part of the Justice Department that helped pick judicial appointments. He's like, ooh, I got a great idea. Okay, me. Just appoint me. He pulled a Cheney, appointed himself, right? But we knew all that stuff. The reason why this is a news story is because he did not disclose that his wife is chief of staff to the White House counsel, which could be really, really relevant in picking federal judges.
Right.
And why did you hide that? I mean, that's clearly not something like, she was working at the DMV, I didn't think to fill that out. That's super relevant to the proceedings here.
Yeah, I think it's at this point standard operating procedure in the Trump administration or the Trump era. You just don't disclose your conflicts of interest. Who cares? Who cares about conflicts of interest? Our president is just a walking, talking conflict of interest. So why would this guy worry about, you know, telling anyone or disclosing who his wife is?
Yeah, he thought, well, there's new rules. The Trump rules are you can just cheat. and so I'm going to cheat and leave that off. Jared Kushner left off unbelievable things. Wilbur Ross left off unbelievable. Wilbur Ross, the Secretary of Commerce, left off $2 billion that he hid somewhere. And then later when he was asked about it at Forbes magazine, hey, you dropped $2 billion in wealth. What happened to the $2 billion? He's like, well, I just transferred it to other people. I'm not going to tell you who, but it's okay. It's not a conflict of interest, so that's why I didn't record it. They're like, so you're actually now only have $770 million? He's like, no, I don't want anybody to think that I don't have that money. Why? Because he wants to be higher on the Forbes list. They're unbelievable. So where's the goddamn money? So they're all doing it. It's the swamp at large. But one more thing, particularly about this guy. Trump has appointed 59 people to the court. The Republicans who blocked 100 nominees under the last 2 years of Obama. They're approving every single one of them, right? But only 4 out of the 59, to be fair, were ranked unqualified. Okay, so 55 were not. They were ranked qualified by the American Bar Association, right? This guy was declared unanimously unqualified. Like, not a single person thought he was qualified for the office. And the Republicans are like, party line vote. Yep, totally approved. Lovely. Let's move forward. Right-wing blogger who thought, by the way, in his blog, someone said that we should pick up arms against the government if we don't agree with them, okay? Meaning to a violent assault on government officials. And he said he agrees. And now that guy's going to be a federal judge.
Fun. How do you get deemed unqualified? Like, you have all the cards stacked in your deck. That's the phrase, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, how do you mess that up? How do you mess that up? You're like super connected and super privileged, and that this is your wife. Like, how do you mess that up? I just don't get it. Oh, okay. That's it. That's all I have to say about that.
That's all she has to say about that. All right, when we come back, oh no, George H.W. Bush. More accusations of groping, and the age of the people being groped is going lower and lower.
Yeah.
Oh, this is bad. We'll talk about it when we come back. All right, back on the Young Turks. You know what? In the post game, I'll add a really funny, cute story about my kids and how they taught me how to cook this weekend.
Oh, awesome!
They're like Baba. TYTNetwork.com/join. All right, Bill O'Falafel writes in on YouTube Super Chat, and I read Steven Garcia's comment from YouTube Super Chat too. If you use that, you help the show, and we read your comments. He writes in, why did the iguana cross the road to get to TYT? We do show the iguana a lot in the live show breaks, and that's Mary Iguana. All right, Richard says, check out Annie Kasparian nailing the Duterte pronunciation, even with a sore throat. Hashtag professional.
Thank you.
Super last thing, which is awesome, says Trump smiles like he's worried that someone noticed that he farted.
Yes, that smile is the best.
All right, what's next, Anna?
All right. A sixth woman has come forward with sexual assault allegations against former President George H.W. Bush. The only difference between the latest allegation is the age in which this woman alleges that she was groped. Now, this allegedly happened back in 2003. Her name is Rosalind Corrigan, and she said that the alleged incident occurred during an event that she attended with her parents in 2003 at the CIA's offices in the Woodlands, Texas, when she and her parents posed for a photo with Bush. This is a common theme among all the other allegations. Bush was 79 at the time. Corrigan said he groped her behind. So let me give you her exact quotes. She said, as soon as the picture was being snapped, the 1, 2, 3, he dropped his hands from my waist down to my buttocks and gave it a nice ripe squeeze, which would account for the fact that in the photograph, my mouth is hanging wide open. I was like, oh my goodness, what just happened? Now, she was only 16 at the time. So keep in mind, you're talking about a former president of the United States allegedly groping a 16-year-old. She was incredibly intimidated. She didn't know what to do.
She said at the time, what does a teenager say to the ex-president of the United States?
I mean, I would be terrified. I wouldn't say anything. I would handle it the same way that she did, you know, to be quite honest with you. And the incredible thing is, spokespeople from Bush's camp aren't denying it. They're like, Yeah, he thought it was good natured and there was nothing wrong with it. Let me give you their quote. George Bush simply does not have it in his heart to knowingly cause anyone harm or distress. And he again apologizes to anyone he may have offended during a photo op.
Okay, so if you watch the show a long time, you know that I have a soft spot for Poppy, so I'm a little biased. And if you wonder why, is two things that George Bush did that were principled, George H.W. Bush, that his son didn't have anywhere near the principle of. So one, he had said, read my lips, no new taxes. But when he thought the budget was out of control, he raised taxes. And knowing that it would cost him politically, and it did. And it was the right thing to do. And he didn't go into Iraq. He did Kuwait, and there's a million things that he did wrong, okay? But everybody put a world of pressure on him to go into Iraq, and he said, it's going to be a mess. I'm not going to do it. That's not why we're here. So I respect those decisions of his. So he's just giving you background so you know why, you know, I don't view him as I do the current day Republicans. Now, but in the case, that's not at all relevant to this story. I'm just giving you my bias, okay? Mm-hmm. In this case, I think it's not the bias. I think that it's me genuinely asking the question of, is it different when it's someone that is that old and doesn't know how wrong it is? All right.
It's not an excuse.
No, it's not remotely an excuse. What I'm asking is it different? Mm-mm. So here, I'll give you, okay, so this is super uncomfortable, but the Roy Moore example, right? Mm-hmm. So Roy Moore, when he was in his 30s, and he's not nearly as old as George H.W. Bush, meaning that he didn't grow up in that era, mm-hmm. He grew up kind of in our era, right? And so now Roy Moore is not a spring chicken, but you know, he more modern era. Anyway, right. So he was 32 when he is groping 16-year-olds to try to sleep with them, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. As opposed to George H.W. Bush, who's 79 and then in his 80s, and grabbing them from the wheelchair and then making a joke, the joke he always made, and he did this all the time, and he did it in front of his wife and everyone else. Is his, oh, my favorite magician is David Copperfield. So that to me says, at least in his mind, he doesn't think he's doing anything wrong. Because he's publicly announcing it. He's like Roy Moore grabs him in the back of a parking lot. He's doing this out in public. You see what I'm saying? So it's definitely different. The question is, I guess, does that matter? It doesn't matter. No, he's horribly guilty.
Well, look, I think, see what I'm saying? I do see what you're saying. And I think bad actors who act poorly in a variety of situations will justify to themselves that what they're doing is not that bad. Now, this is an extreme example, but Rodrigo Duterte in the Philippines thinks that it's totally okay to have extrajudicial killings of drug addicts, right? Mm-hmm. And in his head, he's doing something good. Now, in Bush's head, maybe he thinks what he's doing is innocent. But what this says to me and what it communicates to me is this sense of entitlement to put your hands on any other individual without consent and think that it's totally okay, right? Don't put your hands on people. Just don't touch people. You are not into, I don't care if you're the president of the United States. I don't care what kind of power you wield. You do not have the ability to go ahead and just grope people, grab people, any way you like, whenever you like.
Yeah, and so let me be clear about two things. One, there's no excuse for it, so don't do it, okay? So we're not negotiating about whether he's allowed to do it. He's definitely not allowed to do it. Furthermore, if you're the ex-president of the United States, you have a further responsibility to not do it because you hold power over people. Here's a 16-year-old girl intimidated by your power, so you don't abuse that power. You should go further out of your way to make sure you're not doing it. I guess what I'm talking about is consequences. Mm-hmm. If I'm at a Thanksgiving get together and some creeper from is cornering a 16-year-old when he's 32, and we catch him, like I'm turning him into over the cops,
right?
If an 79-year-old grandpa is kidding around, David Copperfield is, we're taking a picture in front of everybody and grabs an ass, you're pulling him aside, going, Gramps, you're not allowed to do that. That's crazy. Don't ever do that again. But you're not turning him over to the cops. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's hard to say what my reaction would be in that situation. Because, look, it's interesting because prior to experiencing this exact thing myself, I didn't see it as that big of a deal. I'm being completely honest. Like, okay, it's an ass grab, it's not the end of the world. Because when you hear about sexual assault and when you hear about rape, you know, some of the allegations are so brutal and so terrible that it makes something like an ass grab seem innocent. And then when I experienced it myself. You feel so violated, right? And you feel like you start questioning yourself, right? Am I doing something wrong? Am I dressed inappropriately? Am I carrying myself a certain way? Do I look slutty? You know, and you start feeling really bad about yourself. It's like really degrading and demeaning. And so that didn't happen to me by someone in a position of power like an ex-president. So I can't imagine what it's like to be a 16-year-old and experience this by a former president of the United States.
Yeah, and that feeling of powerlessness, et cetera, makes it even worse.
Yeah.
So we're just having the conversation so that you hear everybody's perspective and understand. And if you're a guy and you didn't get it, well, Anna's saying something very interesting that you should take note of. If you think it's not a big deal, that doesn't mean it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
It's not about you, it's about the person you're doing it to.
Right. All right, let's do some international news. An earthquake struck on the border of Iran and Iraq, and unfortunately, hundreds of people have died as a result. Iran's western Kermanshah province bore the brunt of this trembler, with Iran's state-run news agency reporting the quake killed 341 people in the country and injured nearly 6,000. In Iraq, the earthquake killed at least 7 people and injured 535, all in the country's northern semi-autonomous Kurdish region. So what we've seen on social media in regard to some of the destruction is rather terrible. And honestly, when you look at this destruction, it's surprising that more lives weren't lost. But the community is getting together, coming together, and doing what they can to recover from this tragedy.
I want to give credit to a government we almost never give credit to these days, which is Turkey. They rushed in to help, and they sent 3,000 tents and heaters, 10,000 beds and blankets. And so their neighbors, shouldn't they do that? Yes, they should. Iran and Turkey do not get along, and recently the Kurdish area voted for independence in September in a referendum. Now, they're not inside Turkey, but even so, the Turks feel that is threatening because they're worried that their own Kurdish population would declare independence. So they were furious about that vote. But when the earthquake happened, so even though they have issues with both Iran and that portion of Iraq, Erdogan's government rushed in to help. Not a guy we compliment often, but credit where credit is due, and he did rush in to help in Rohingya as well for Bangladesh. So that's positive. And by the way, it's also smart if America should rush in to help,
right?
Because yes, we don't get along with Iran, but it's a good moment to be magnanimous and offer help, which America actually, to be fair, does all the time. And we also criticize the American government fairly regularly. But we have been great with humanitarian aid in situations like this. So let's also rush in and help our fellow humans.
Absolutely. All right, I want to make sure we get one more story in, and it's an important one. The Global Climate Project recently released data indicating that even though carbon emissions had flatlined between 2014 and 2016, unfortunately, the statistics show that carbon emissions recently have jumped up. So to give you the details on that, new projections suggest that emissions in 2016 are likely to increase, thwarting the drive toward keeping the global temperatures from continuing to rise. So there are a number of different factors, but one thing to keep in mind is that when it comes to the Paris Climate Accord, for instance, yes, the United States pulled out, that is problematic. The United States is also undoing some of the environmental regulations that were passed under the Obama administration. But there are other countries who signed the agreement who aren't necessarily putting action behind what they said that they would do. And so that is obviously a concern that should be looked into. Also, keep in mind that other countries have replied to the fact that Donald Trump has pulled out of the climate accord. Syria and Nicaragua, who originally did not want to be part of the agreement, are now stepping in and they're saying that they will do what's necessary to cut carbon emissions.
So as far as the Paris Climate Accords and the rest of the world agreeing, we have become the sole rogue nation. So Nicaragua, to be fair, thought that the climate accords were not tough enough.
Right.
So they were hesitant to join because they wanted to go further. So give credit to Nicaragua there. Syria, on the other hand, was another holdout saying, ah, I mean, it's funny. There's legitimate concerns that the government of Syria has gassed its own people.
Yeah.
But by the end, they're like, no, climate change is really bad.
I know, it's insane.
We have to sign because we're actually poisoning the whole planet and we're all going to die, not just our enemies, right?
Right.
And so now even the butcher in Syria has signed on. And by the way, Duterte, another butcher, signed on. Russia signed on. Maybe right. Putin should tell Trump to sign on. Maybe then he'll do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, I mean, China is really stepping up when it comes to renewable energy. And it's really helping their economy because they are the leaders when it comes to hydro plants, when it comes to solar energy, wind energy. And so we're letting them take the lead. China's winning. China's winning.
That's a good way to motivate Trump. The Grand Ayatollah in Iran signed on. All of the Northern European countries signed on, all the Southern European countries signed on. Everyone but us has signed on to help the planet. So Trump stands alone as the one person who is saying, I will under no circumstances work with the rest of the world. He's bought, he's corrupt, he has the oil donors, and he's gonna serve them no matter how much damage it causes the entire planet. And by the way, I don't wanna just say that so we should begin to help, but we should also note that as good a work as China has done on some of the renewable energies, they are still emitting way too much carbon, and so is India. And those are huge problems and part of the reason for the rise in carbon now. And unfortunately, the US and Europe, our level of carbon is not falling nearly as much as we had promised. So we all have to do better to make sure that we can actually save the planet and all of us human beings. Seems like a fair request. And everyone in the world but Trump agrees.
Yep.
All right, we'll see you in the post game. Bye-bye. Did I do it back?